I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wazza had then on his back. He said that me and my mate used to have a saying when we were younger, okay then. And his mate had okay.
He is one of the best players we've ever seen.
You know something?
Yeah,
he's right in there with the best now.
I think if you were picking an all-time Premier League 11, I think he gets in.
I think it's in the interest of City, actually, and everybody to bring that case forward. It can't go on. It can't go, because it is damaging to the Premier League and the game generally.
I hope it wasn't my wages that caused all this.
I don't get it.
I don't know.
It's good to be knocked out.
We were capable of going in all competitions. Some of these clubs are not built that way.
But they're not travelling to Europe, Gary. They're travelling up under M6.
I'll stick to football set. How you doing, man?
Right, I can see your influence rubbing off.
I know,
off
I didn't
on
mean to.
Roy.
I know,
I get rid of my stuff.
Look at my guy, bro, look.
Sorry.
You're much too much.
Who is it?
Specials.
You could be having fun with me.
I'm so glad you don't know who this guy is.
I am.
Have you had your makeup?
No, I need makeup.
Rudy. Hammett.
Oh, Rudy. Is that a song?
That's a song.
Specials.
You know it now, huh?
Ghost Town.
Yes. This town is coming like a ghost.
Big United fan, Gary. Thought you'd know him.
Yeah, see, Gary don't know.
Remember, he
cut everybody off.
Is that 70s, though?
His mates off his heroes.
80s.
Is that 80s?
80s.
Yes, man.
I was into Bruce Springsteen then, I think.
Was he?
Yeah.
Here we can't. You're not allowed to play the music, are you?
No, because you can't play the music because they can't use it.
We can't play music because we don't have the rights to the Specials hits.
Ah.
We don't pay for rights, you see.
Well, can we buy it?
You can sing it though, can't you?
Yeah, but better than that, can you?
You sing it.
It's Madness, you like Madness?
I don't mind Madness, yeah, I love Suggs.
Suggs would be good to get in the show.
Suggs.
He's Chelsea, doesn't he? He's a Chelsea fan.
You can't hold that against him, you know what I mean?
You can hold it against him.
Cup final song, didn't he?
Yes, I
think so. 90s, was it?
Do you know the best cup final song? Everton, The Farm.
All Together Now.
Yeah. That was good.
Well, The Farm are Liverpool fans as well. Peter Dutton.
Had it.
Been massive Liverpool fans.
That was a good song. I like the farm. All Together Now.
What, that one?
Yeah, they don't know what.
Why would they have done an Everton song if they were big Liverpool fans? I only have black tea here.
Can we get fresh tea? I sound like I'm.
That is fresh tea.
Am I high maintenance?
That is fresh tea.
Just for tea, though.
You're slowly taking my tea.
Here, go. Take this glass.
There's a heart.
It's hot.
Oh, Jesus Christ,
no.
Gary. No, it's not hot.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? You should just the tea when we're thingy because, like...
Oh, no, sorry, lads. Come on. Please.
I like these pots.
I like one of these pots.
We should buy everybody a pot, Ben. Like a little teapot.
Did you see how much tea they drink?
They're nice, them pots, aren't they? I think I need some makeup. I've got a rash. I've had a rash on my eye now for about 10 weeks.
You know what that is?
I know what it is.
Say stress.
100%. You're working too hard, Gary.
1,000,000% stress.
You are working too hard.
Mince pie, look.
That's your body. Your body's telling you something.
You've 8 weeks. No, 8 weeks I've had it.
No, but you always have something. I'm always
looking at you. Have you slowed down?
I'm always looking at
you. You've always got a rash or a cold. I'm telling you.
In the gym? What are you doing?
In the gym at six.
Your body's actually, this is coming out because your body's saying, I've got to get this out, I don't feel right.
I don't want to be body killing. Six to seven.
Still on time than time.
I'm done, I'm breathing.
Six. Time to go to bed?
Gary.
Half nine.
Gary, listen to this.
Half nine?
I swear, slow down. You got a wife and children. He's all not, the money in the bank.
They tell them to hurry up.
What'd you say?
They tell them to hurry up.
Go and get some more work done.
You're travelling. Gal.
What have you got on this weekend? You must be travelling.
Well, this weekend, have we got no games? Or
right. Where are you going?
Weekend off.
So what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
No,
you're staying at home watching TV with your family.
Because Sofa aren't even on. What's this hat, Ian? This one is, can you explain the... It's the style.
It's the docker.
The docker?
Like I'm always wearing.
I know you always wear it, but it's a...
It's the same style.
Is it linen?
Oh, this one. Yeah, it's kind
looks
of
like
a linen
sailor one. Hat, that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. It is a sailor. So I like the pattern. I've got a jacket like this as well, which I like wearing, but obviously it's too cold at the minute. But I love this pattern. Let me see your back.
What is it actually?
It's a nice hoodie until he turns around.
It's like a ghost.
It's from out this way.
It's like a ghost.
It's a ghost.
I don't know why, Joshua, it's not me, is it?
It's not a case of not. Just never worry about whether it's you or not. Do you like what you've bought there? Because like you can't see the pattern. So do you
like
this?
I like hoodies. I like
right. So you like it?
Maybe it was, to be fair, me thinking I'm going to take a risk a little bit.
Yeah, but it's a hoodie.
Yeah, that's
the only risk you've taken. You've got a silly face on the back of it. You haven't taken a risk. If you was going to come here with a shirt, open shirt with a medallion, ooh, that's taking a risk.
That's, you know, it, I mean, this time. Is a, open shirt medallion. Open shirt medallion.
I mean, this is just
did
a
you see your barber's in London.
Yeah.
So you won't get your hair cut anywhere else.
Oh no, no. It just.
Oh,
you know
you're
why?
One of them.
Do you know what? No, it's nothing to do with that. Do you know what it is? It's like I can't during the day. I just can't think. I've got to take an hour and a half out of my day for a haircut. So when I go from the station at Euston and I walk to the hotel, I'll get to the hotel. I just stop in the barber thing in Soho on the way, get my haircut, and go. He does it in 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
You can tell.
It's just ease. The idea.
I like it. Mm. I like the silver foxy vibe at the start.
The silver fox.
He's a fox.
Is it 60 quid?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. In London.
Yeah. Is that cheap or expensive?
Is that cheap
for a man's haircut?
In London,
60 quid. Is that's a lot that for your hair, isn't it? 60 quid.
You think? How often do you cut your hair, Jane?
2 or 3 weeks.
Do you know what I heard?
Strong.
I heard that.
Is that I like too long or not? What do you think? Should be.
I don't. I've never seen. I've never seen that any longer than that.
I just got back
every
from
day.
Thailand.
I know. How was it, James?
Nothing else.
Did you have a great time?
Some lads are just.
See, the lads now, the footballers, they have it done every week, once a week.
Yeah, that's too much.
It's so sharp. It's like so.
Once I'm talking to them about like Thailand, man, because like you, I could see the chilled vibe in you. I could see a nice like. Yeah, I'm chilled.
Relaxed. Yeah.
You were over there a long time, weren't you?
2 weeks.
That's beautiful. Did you get to, because you know you get there. If it's like, I don't like doing a week anywhere. I have to do 10 days or 2 weeks. Because if I do a week, after the third day, I'm already start thinking about I'm packing up. I can't relax. I need to have that week and then I start thinking about packing.
Two weeks is a long time. It is a long
time. Yeah, it's too long.
I was away for about a month.
Yeah. Why, did you, 2 weeks is too long.
Why, did the menu just eat the same things on the menu after a while?
Yeah, just tag
it. Have you been away?
Thailand, yeah.
Was it hot?
Mm. Girl, didn't you go skiing? What was that like?
Yeah, it's nice.
Did you relax there, girl?
Tottenham. Over there, everywhere you went, just Premier League football on. Everywhere.
That was a bank run Sunday, two draws.
What?
Villa, Everton, United, Spurs. Mm. Spurs done all right, but after the game, it was like...
Yeah, so, yeah.
Over the top stuff.
Who by?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's been getting a little bit on social media.
Aggressive, Gary.
For what?
He's gone with Spurs finishing second.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Why
are you running from that? Why are you running from that?
Is he calling it Ange ball? Is he calling it Ange ball?
I said, if Spurs get their players fit and keep them fit with the clear run they've got, they could do something special.
Of course they could. Of course they
special. What about them?
They could.
But no, my point is, whatever.
But his mob have been on it.
Yeah, but that's but you know, Liverpool
mob tactics.
Spurs drew two with United. They've lost. United lost 9 games, league games. Bournemouth won there about 2 or 3 weeks or 3-0, and Spurs are buzzing with a draw.
Yeah,
that was my point, Gary. Simple.
What, buzzing with a draw at United?
Oh, Spurs, everyone was. Spurs were amazing. Spurs are
I think even
two.
They had the best players missing, like five or six of the best players.
And dominated possession.
And dominated it. That was the surprise.
But you know what's really important in football, Gary? Really important. The score. Look at 2-2. It doesn't matter who's missing. Clive Allen, Glenn Hoddle. United were missing players. And United are poor. So I just think, sometimes you could have put a marker down and go and beat United. Come away and go, oh, we played really well, we drew. So what?
They were behind twice. They're missing a load of players. It's a big result for Spurs.
I think
this is what Spurs didn't
Bournemouth won there about 2 weeks ago at 3-0. Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Yeah?
So what?
We weren't going to start.
Spurs are supposed to be better.
We'll just carry on now. Right. Because, to be fair, this is going to be the third topic we discuss.
Sorry, Gal.
To be fair, it's obviously bugging him.
Oh, no.
It's not bugging him.
Welcome to Stick to Football, brought to you by Skybet. And this week we're going to talk about where Tottenham are going to finish this season, FFP, the World FIFA Awards, and a little bit about style of play with Erik ten Hag and Bruno Fernandes. I made a statement that I think Tottenham, with the five players back who are Kulusevski, Son...
What do you call him?
Madison, Kulusevski.
Okay.
Son, Madison...
Sarr
and Bissouma. Those five players back... Mm. If they kept them fit, with the clear run they're going to have, I said they could push Arsenal and Liverpool for that sort of like second place. I genuinely think that could happen.
Yeah, so I think that could happen.
Is that a mad statement?
No.
I don't think it's mad.
But you said something about them if they go out the FA Cup. It's like, why do they need to...
They said that with Arsenal last year.
No, I said the likelihood is they could go out the FA Cup. They could have a completely clear run.
What's this clear run? If you're in the league and the FA Cup...
Right, they can do.
There's only the quarterfinals and semi-finals. You'd have to rearrange league games. So,
but what I'm saying is, if they were to go out of the FA Cup, would it be the end of the world for them? If they went out?
Spurs, no, it wouldn't be.
Why do you wish
you'd seen... I'm just saying, would it be the end of the world for them to concentrate on the league?
No, it wouldn't.
You said that. Everyone said that about Arsenal last year. It's good for Arsenal to be out of the FA Cup. The wheels came off Arsenal anyway. They ran out of steam. So this idea that you're going out of competitions and getting beaten in matches is good for your club.
Yeah, but the thing
if they're still in Europe, yeah, there's different demands, but there's no other demands.
But Tottenham, if they are out of it and they have got a clear run at the Premier League with the FA, it's just the games they don't have to play. They don't have to use.
But you get a rid of the games
they haven't really.
So what happened to Arsenal last year? When they were out of one and everyone said, Arsenal ran out of steam.
Yeah, we did run out of steam. We couldn't do it. We couldn't get it going. But,
the more games you play...
Tottenham don't need to be out the FA Cup because the FA Cup's not like a midweek thing where you go, oh, we've got a game in another couple of days.
I don't get that.
The FA Cup's at the weekend. Yeah. It's only when you get to the semi-final that you might have to rearrange one league game.
Liverpool have got a lot going on. Obviously, Arsenal have got a lot going on. City obviously will have a lot going on. And it just could be that they could, with that team that they've got, if they've got the five players fit, I just said they could... have something to do.
What's made you change your mind? Because early on in this, the reverse fixture at Tottenham's ground, you said Postecoglou didn't know he's putting his fullbacks in mid.
You did?
You did an analysis on it. You said these managers putting fullbacks in mid.
That's 2 games into the season.
I know.
That's 4 or 5 months.
You question him after 2 weeks, 2 games?
No. I didn't question him at all.
They missed each other.
I said, to be fair, and by the way, they're not doing it now.
So you're wearing that. What's happened to Ange Ball?
No.
Has Gary Neville got into your head?
Porro and Udogie are not receiving it on the edge of their own box anymore. Let's be clear. They were receiving it on the edge of the box in that game and getting dispossessed, right? And Rashford was going in and I can't remember who else was sort of dispossessive. They're not receiving it there now. You know they're not receiving it. They're receiving it another 20, 30 yards up the pitch. You know that. Anyway, going back to it, that was 2 games in. I think Tottenham now are in a position they could, and I'm not saying they will, they could push and dismantle Villa, Liverpool and Arsenal. They could.
Yeah. Of course they could.
Yeah. But it's not a ridiculous statement, is it?
No one said it was a ridiculous statement.
Right, who's
it's mob.
This oh,
who's,
lot.
Who's mob?
It's mob.
Liverpool fans,
Carragher and the fans on Twitter, you know what I mean?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Right.
When is Madison back, actually? He is a
it's
big
It's meant to be this month, isn't it?
Yeah,
is
next few weeks.
Yeah. Mm. That'll be like having a new signing, won't it? I think.
Hey, listen, he was doing okay to start. Don't be.
Oh no!
I'm telling you, swear to God.
Spurs have still. How many games have Spurs lost here? By the Spurs have lost five games, haven't they?
Hey.
They lost to Brighton 2 weeks ago.
He was doing all right.
3 weeks ago.
He was doing all right.
Badly at Brighton.
I think he's a good player.
Yeah.
But I don't. Not as good as everyone's making out.
Who's making out?
Who's not? What do you mean? Not. What do
you're a massive fan of Madison.
Making out.
I like Madison. He's a good player. I don't think it's like a De Bruyne coming back from.
Yeah, but we're talking about De Bruyne.
Yeah. Right. You
know, but Madison, for what he is, he's exceptional in that position for me. Madison and what he does, yeah. And the only problem he's having is that he just keeps picking up these injuries.
Oh, right, which is really important if you're a professional footballer.
What?
Yeah. Injuries.
Well, yeah, but,
he's missing games.
Yeah, but he's missing games, but it hasn't got anything to do with the fact that he's not a very, very good player. If he was playing more frequently, we'd probably see even better performances from him.
I don't see Tottenham finishing above Liverpool or Arsenal. I just don't, you know, I don't see that.
What's your prediction for them?
For Tottenham?
Yeah.
I think they'd be battling with Aston Villa for that it could be top five this season, couldn't it? But I think they'd be in a battle with Villa.
We need to sort out the taking of chances. You know, I know you're going to start just letting me finish. I can feel him. I just felt him in my energy.
A big part of football taking chances.
Yeah, absolutely. But why I'm not so fast?
Where's your boot? We need your golden boot.
Why I'm not so fast is because, again, we're creating chances. If we weren't creating them, it'd be a massive problem. We've got four players who are just not firing. That's an anomaly. It shouldn't be happening. So you hope that kicks in. If that doesn't you've got to worry.
What do you think is going to change?
If they are fired,
scoring. If they start taking chances.
You would say last season they were fired. And we looked at this on, I think, the last Monday Night Football we did. So last season they were all getting about 15 or 16 goals. Yeah. This season they're well down. Yeah. But is them all firing enough to still win the league?
Who, us? Now?
Yeah.
No.
That's what I'm saying. So when you're saying they're not firing, season and it still wasn't enough.
Yeah, but the thing is, the thing is that defensively we've been a lot better this season, right? So if we had two of them at least in some of the games that we should have finished off and should have won or should have scored in, we'd probably win those games where you haven't played brilliantly. You just defended and you've got somebody who's taken the chance.
But you know when you say you're better defensively, are you better defensively because to the detriment of your attack? It's not like, better defender. We're a bit more controlled, we're a bit more defensive. So then that's actually taken a little bit away.
Well, but the thing is that defensively, obviously, having Declan Rice in there, having Saliba fit, you know, those two in particular, defensively have made us stronger. Mm. But what's happening is that I don't believe we're getting the ball into an Odegaard who's off form, into Saka who's like the same kind of form, same with Martinelli. So what's happening is that the play up to there is okay, but then we're not being able to make things happen up in the top end of the field, and I think that's because we're defending.
You say it's not going to be enough when you're firing all cylinders. It was proven last season, that first half of the season, I think it was about 51 or 52 points, something stupid. Mm. If you do fire on all cylinders and you go on that type of run, you do that, you will win the league. So my point is not that team that last season played in the first five months. Was it 52 points?
They got 50 out of the first 57 points.
Yeah. So my point is, if they did that, and I'm not saying they will, it doesn't look like they're going
to. We'd need to do that.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you is that they could flip the seasons and almost flip the halves of the seasons. Mm. And last season, obviously, they fell apart in the last part. It could be that actually now they do that and all of a sudden do fire in all cylinders. I don't know, but if they did, then they would be getting.
I think that if we were taking some of those chances, even though we haven't played brilliantly, the way we've been defending a lot better, we'd nick a couple more games, 1-0 here, 2-1 there, and we'd be feeling a lot better. But at the moment, people are feeling a little bit negative because, you know what I mean, we've lost a few games and we don't look like we're going to score.
No. They got the FA Cup. Oh, no, they're all the FA Cup.
Oh.
That was a bad one. Did you think it was a bad one? I was not expecting Liverpool to win at Arsenal, were you?
No, I was thinking Liverpool. I thought Klopp would make more changes, to be honest. I was surprised Klopp sort of played the team that he did because they obviously were playing midweek in the Carabao Cup semi-final, but he went really strong.
You know something? Again, we played unbelievably in that game. You know, so I'm going to walk out if you don't stop smirking at me out of the side of your face like that.
But you know what stats I like? When people talk about creating loads of chances, I like when teams create two chances and score two goals.
Yes.
Yeah. I like that.
I wish we'd do that. Yeah. I wish we could do that. But in that Liverpool game, you know what I mean? We should have had that done. We could have had that done. And in the end, you can't give that kind of team, you know, you can't give them that kind of chance, you know, where you don't finish them off, man.
Do you know, as a striker, does it play on your mind when people are saying, oh, they're not finishing the chances and stuff like that? Because sometimes I would find that strikers would then put themselves under more pressure, practicing more in training. And I'd feel like when they were relaxed and just enjoying the football, they'd finish them. Would it play on your mind when people are saying, oh, the strikers aren't scoring? And would it then make you more tense in the games?
Obviously not me, Jill. I can't speak for myself.
How long run you went on without
probably
scoring?
About six games, I think. Oh. Only for probably about six, that kind of time. But it was a time where I didn't worry about it because I'd just simply done the same things in training. I didn't try any harder.
Yeah.
You just try to finish. You just try to do the stuff like, you know, like I saw a chance when the Man United game against Wigan. That's the kind of stuff where you're just hoping that you can get a clean one where it comes across and you can do the natural thing, bam, just head it in, get your goal.
Yeah.
You know, the same, like, you want something like a Dominic Calvert-Lewin chance where you run through, yeah, so then you could go through and you finish.
What did he do wrong there?
That one, I think, on that when he ran through, because people say things like, oh, why are we practicing? Why are we doing this in training? We never get these in training. Because the top players, you want those. You want to know and you want to be in that situation. He was going straight. And I think at some stage, he's either got to go off to the right or to the left to move the goalkeeper. Because when you looked at Martinez, when it broke, Martinez was actually turning, looking at his goal. Right, in that moment, he's got to get himself into a situation where he gives himself an angle, either side. So then you could go, so the goalkeeper's then got to get back there. Then he's got to say, okay, where am I? Then you finish or down there or around the side. Or if you're going to go straight and you open your body up, you have to lift it over the training leg. There was so much goal outside, he actually didn't even need to lift it over the training leg. I remember one I had with Liverpool, David James, I thought, oh God, he's never going to go down. And you keep going, but the main thing is you lift it. It just hit him in the top and it still went in. Yeah. I thought that Calvert-Lewin was going to lift it because he didn't go right or left. And if you're going straight, a goalkeeper who's waiting for you to make a mistake simply because he's in no man's land. Mm-hmm. It's up to you. That's why you see the top player. You see a Harry Kane or a Salah or someone like that. Go through, and then bam. And you say, that was easy. Because the goalkeeper can't do anything unless you make a mistake.
But time
is
the enemy for a striker, isn't it?
Yeah,
for certain strikers.
For certain strikers.
Right, did you wait for the goalkeeper to move? Or what are you talking about? When you're going through on goal one-on-one and it must feel like time stood still because obviously the whole crowd are watching it. Are you waiting for the goalkeeper to move, or have you made your mind up before?
No, because when you're going through, it's the scenarios are coming all the time. The goalie's got to move. He's got to do something. He's got to see if you miss a shot. You've got to see where that space is. Can I whip it in there? And you say, oh, that was a clinical finish. Can you get close enough to maybe go round him and put it in? The scenario's always changing, but you can't be changing in your head simply because...
So your finish stays the same?
If I go in off the left and I'm cutting in, I know that my finish, ideally, depending on where the goalkeeper is, I'm going to try and whip it round him. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's one of those where you can give the eyes. It depends on our confidence.
But is that because you're a natural finisher? There is a difference, isn't there? I know you can practice, but you see certain players, you go, it just seems more natural to them.
Yeah.
You know something?
Like a lot of players in different.
Did you fancy him? When you saw that, when you saw him go through?
No, not really.
When you saw it and you saw did you fancy him going through?
No, and Jesus, similarly, you wouldn't know what you were going to get.
But this is exactly what it is, and this is why the top guys, when you go through like that, you go, But like, that's what you want to be. That's what Calvert-Lewin.
That's another level up, then, isn't it? That's another.
Yeah, but that comes down to training. And in training, what I used to do, and I've done it religiously, if I missed in training, I felt like it was a miss in a game.
Yeah.
Because what I don't like to see as well at the start of the games, you know, when they're doing the side goal and the goal, and you see them finishing and they're just coming up. Well, you're getting ready to play. This is the time where you don't miss the target, and you do it in game mode in your head. And that's how I train.
Would you be fuming after training if you hadn't scored? You know, you'd have 11v11. Some of the lads we walked with, you know, they'd be fuming after a training game if they hadn't scored.
Which striker would you put your mortgage on? One-on-one, actually.
Going through like that? Somebody I played with? Or you'd want Rude?
Rude, yeah.
Okay.
Ollie, I would back as well on finishing.
Yeah.
But Rude.
Going through 1v1 with a goalkeeper, I'd score.
Yeah. I'd have Rooney as well. Michael Owen, bro.
Yeah. When you said that, it made me think of a goal.
Robbie Fowler, man.
Harry Kane, obviously.
The both of them, I agree. I didn't fancy Calvert-Lewin when you're saying that before. I think when you're running straight at someone, you're always need. I mean, I'm a defender, but the amount of times I think of sort of Robbie, just half a yard
so you can pump, pump.
Because I just think when you go straight, there's not that many.
It's like taking a penalty. And you know, if a player goes up too straight at a penalty, it looks just a bit wrong.
Yeah, the thing is that and the goalkeeper knows as well. If you're straight.
But he's a big man, right, isn't it? You have to give him a little bit of credit. No, the goalkeeper.
I like
I
think if he's running up, you're looking, he's a big man, isn't he? You're looking, going,
yeah, but
tell you
yeah, but still, the
I know, the space, the thing,
the space is there.
I know.
And it's up to you because, like, again, when you go through, like I say, like Calvert-Lewin, and if you are straight, remember the goalkeepers, Dave Seaman used to always say, at some stage, you're going to have to do something to create the angle. So then you're gonna have to do something. So that's gonna give him an extra time to come forward a bit more, maybe. But like that's why you want to get the angle first. So when you're running in,
that's why. I know it's me, mate. But that's why I always still blame Mignolet for that goal. Honest to God, Demba Ba. Demba Ba was so straight going through.
Go, let it go, Jim.
There was nowhere else he could put it except through his legs.
I know.
Because
that's
he didn't
one,
have an
that's
angle.
That's the one where Stevie slipped.
But it's like Demba Ba was so straight on goal. I think it's difficult to score. I mean, the only thing he could do is put it through the keeper's legs. The keeper's
you're taking
like,
a chance.
No, there's nowhere else he can go.
Liverpool would have won a Champions League and a league, wouldn't they, if they'd had Alisson a couple of seasons earlier. They would have won. They would have done. I mean, just one more thing on this sort of around Arsenal, Tottenham, obviously Liverpool. Did it feel ominous? I watching Newcastle and Manchester City at the weekend and the 2-1, it felt ominous. It was like, I'm not going to change my prediction for the league because you don't do that. Your prediction's your prediction. But it just felt,
I think City are just, they always gather the momentum at the right time, don't they? And, oh, Kevin De Bruyne, to come back after that long out and to perform how he did. I seen he did an interview and he was like, look, I'm being realistic. I'm not ready for 90 minutes, but I know I can perform at the top of my game for 2025. But even his finish, I thought it was such a straight shot. I thought he was going to like whip it. And I'm like, oh, I just think
he knew what he was doing as well.
Incredible.
He knew what he was doing.
Incredible.
You know what's, again, with the finish, it's so underrated because remember, he's not blasted that. He's placed that from 20, like the edge.
Yeah.
Right. That's just game knowledge, knowing where the guy in front of him is, knowing where the goalkeeper is unsighted, and just that's why he's great.
He is one of the best players we've ever seen.
You know something?
Yeah.
He could probably go down. He's right in there with the best now.
But and you can see the reaction from the other players as well, after, even at the end of the game or the goals. You could see with them even the celebrations. Obviously, they know it's a big result, but they're looking at him going, we are so,
you know what?
As brilliant as they are, but we are back.
He's great because the great they impact the game.
Yeah.
You know, he impacted the game. You know, you cannot give him... Look at the pass what he done for that Oscar Bob, who scores an unbelievable goal, by the way, but we're still to defending. Kevin De Bruyne's pass.
I'm serious. Trippier would be disappointed with that.
Yeah, but at the same time, right, we could say defending, but where he's put that ball and for him to control it and finish it in with quick feet, it's all elitism. It's all...
I think De Bruyne, I've just said one of the best players. I think if you were picking an all-time Premier League 11, I think he gets in. Yeah. And I think of the players City have had, going back to Mancini's time, and you think of sort of like that spine, he had a sort of Company, Torre, Aguero, Silva was there. Mm. He's above them all.
I think
he's above them all.
I think he's a player. You know, when sometimes they say you play midfield and a run will make a pass. You see someone make a run, so you make the pass. I think he makes the pass make the run. He's almost like, go on, like that's where you should be. And I just think, because City is so well drilled, he just steps back in. He's never been away. He knows the ball inside out. And I think it's just such a joy to kind of be able to watch him.
At the moment,
we're very lucky that he's in the league.
Yeah. Amazing player. It's great to see him back like that.
Do you like his hair, though?
I do like his hair.
Do you? No,
sure. You know why I like his hair? Because somewhere along the line, he said, I'm going to change my hair, man. I'm going
to
do
a big thing to change your hair.
You know,
I might do that.
Again, I like the fact.
I don't think I've ever
the fact
changed
that we're talking hair. About.
Never,
fact,
I've never changed my hair.
I love that. I love the fact that he's changed it because you can see that he's... He's confident enough in himself to say, I don't care, I'm changing my hair. And I think it kind of looks cool on him.
If you rock up in curtains, that would...
I used to have curtains. I'm talking as a player, I've never changed. I used to have curtains, yeah, I was about 14. Yeah.
Curtains.
And I used to have a spike when I was about 10. Do you remember the player Paul Bracewell? He's played forever.
Yes, left foot.
Yeah, he had a spike, so I had to get my hair gelled.
And if Liverpool win the league, bring the curtains back.
If Liverpool win the league, well, you can have it.
I'll bring the curtains back. How was the, was it FIFA Pro or? Yeah,
no. The best.
FIFA the best award. Mm. How was it?
It was nice. It wasn't a long one. It was a short one.
In London,
It was in...
Wasn't it in Barrow, was it?
No, it was Hammersmith. It was
down in
Hammersmith.
I think Messi was in Hammersmith.
Messi didn't come.
He didn't go.
I'm surprised.
Well, I want to talk about that because, to be honest with you, I think the honours system in this country is a joke, but I think actually the sort
you
of...
You haven't had one.
Same, yes.
But I seriously think honours now... You grow up in the BBC Sports Personality of the Year, the Ballon d'Or, obviously, knighthoods. It meant a lot. It was like, quite regal things.
Yeah.
But I thought, do you honestly, I think the idea of Messi winning the best player in the world this year,
yeah,
I think, to be fair, I think, you know, look, he's been the best player in the world for 15 years, along with Cristiano Ronaldo. But I think this year, to me, I just thought, when I saw that the other day, I mean, we were talking about a couple of weeks ago about, you know, Messi's season. I think he scored, obviously, I don't know, a few goals for PSG, obviously got injured mainly in Miami. Mm.
Yeah.
Was there a little bit of a feeling in the room that you were there that, like,
did the World Cup stuff come into it, obviously?
And that's last year.
No, it was the year before.
I was surprised.
I think people vote for it, didn't they?
Was it the national coaches and the national coaches and captains.
Yeah, and the captains, yeah.
But that's why, like, and you shouldn't be bogged down by these awards. Why would you be worried about somebody getting an award?
Because I think Erling Haaland deserves
it. I think it's a big thing, though, Roy.
I think Erling Haaland deserves something for what he's done. Listen, Messi and the joy he brings, it's just like when you see a... It's like when you see, like, when there's a goal of the season, a goal of the week and you know, if it's Arsenal fans or Liverpool players in there, they're going to vote for him because they love him. Mm. People love him. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you really looked in at what Erling Haaland's done, he easily should have won that.
Yeah.
But that's just the way it is. And that is something that they have to look at, because he should not have to go through. He's like thinking, yeah, I should have won that. Just like Lewandowski, when Lewandowski should have won it. They've got to put the vote into people's hands where you can say, no, he should have won it.
Yeah.
And he should win. Yes, Messi himself will probably... Well, to be honest, yeah, OK, I'll take it.
He didn't even go, right? He didn't even go.
And you know what, with Erling Haaland... For me, if I'm Erling Haaland, I'm finding out, well, did I win? If they say no, I say, well, I'm not coming.
He was there, Erling Haaland. Did he see his
No, he wasn't. He wasn't there. So as soon as I seen he wasn't there, I was like, he's not winning. But I was really...
Were you two there?
We thought we were getting an award. No, but I actually turned up. I got asked to present one, literally, an hour before the award started. So I would have been better dressed if I'd had a little bit of warning. But it was good.
It was a good one. And it was short. Thierry and Resch.
Yeah.
What was Thierry's dig at Tottenham? I only saw it on...
No, you know something? It was... I just think he was just being a bit facetious.
Did someone ask him a question?
No, because, like, Messi didn't come, so he said he's going to collect it on Messi's part. And I think because Resch is a Tottenham fan.
Okay.
And he said, you know, it's best I do it because you're not used to, like, silverware stuff. So it kind of... I think that's what they took from it, and I feel like it was a low blow that people didn't really like.
We're talking about awards, and... Roy, you said on this show a few weeks ago that you won the PFA.
Oh, is this it?
In 2000, that awards aren't important.
Nice one, girl. Let me see.
Unfortunately, you did play in prehistoric times, but they did have video on cameras.
Let me see it. Anyway.
And
I'm joking. Yeah, you can't have a joke these days.
No. Because said, like you're too.
You were lying a few weeks ago.
He said awards don't matter, and
they don't matter.
And that none of his teammates turned up to celebrate.
Right, nice one, girl. I knew that you did. I knew that you figured.
Here is the great Sepp Blatter from FIFA's presenting.
The players, player of the year, 2000, of the team Manchester United. And of the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, don't forget that.
Roy Keane.
Where was this one?
Of course,
literally. Wow, Andy Cole.
That's true. Well, there's the gaffer.
Sir Alex Ferguson.
You were a bit of a looker. Wow.
It was true. Yeah, thank you, Jill.
There's a nice little interview. So he did have some teammates there.
Two, Gary.
But he said no teammates. Sir.
No, I said it was a couple.
Oh, this is lovely.
Thanks, Joe.
This is nice.
I wonder if you have thought on the new 10-yard rule next season. You're going to have a think about that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Jesus Christ. Cringing.
You could have given a bit more.
It's coming.
Okay, no European it's Cup. Apart from that, it's yet another big year for trophies and a big year for Roy Keane and trophies. But this one is from your fellow professionals. Is that special to you?
Yeah, of course it's special. I'm very surprised. I got a shock when I won the Riders one. Probably have a bigger shock tonight to get off my fellow professionals because the players who were all been nominated all had a good chance of winning. And it's just fortunate and it was me this year. And I'd like to thank again all the fellow professionals.
I
was only a child.
He'll never make a pundit.
Jesus.
How old were you?
Yeah,
there?
You look like you were nervous. You look nervous.
But you never said.
Alex was there.
Alex was there. You can drop the guard a little bit. You must be proud to have won the PFA.
No, I'm not, Gary. I swear to God, I'm not. What do you want me to do? I had to go and pick it up.
Yeah, but Sir Alex was there.
Jesus.
Sir Alex was there.
Yeah, lovely touch. Yeah.
That's your speech. Yeah,
your speech was terrible.
My point is, it was a shocking speech. But if I hadn't won it, I wouldn't have been upset and going, I should have won it. Like you're all saying, Messi deserved it. I would have rolled with it. I probably should have won it the three previous years. But <you're saying> me.
He's not bitter though.
No.
I liked it. I like the awards. Sporting. You know, like
was
Marta.
You ever close? Was you ever close to winning that, Ricey?
You know when
here we go. Oh, Jesus.
Great question, Jay. You know what I thought my first year at Arsenal when I went from Palace and scored my 29 in the league and 5 in the cup and scored 35.
And you ain't got the
Euros. I thought no. It was quite a bad year in the end for me. But like I thought that year, I think Gary Lineker won it that year. I think he announced he was retiring as well. I think he won the Writers, and he won that one. And I thought that I was in for a chance with that one. I was devastated when I didn't get that. Because like you say, when it is voted for by the lads, it's because, you know, when they play against you. And that's how I used to do mine. I used to always put in the players that when I played against them, if they were impressive on that particular day. You know, I didn't do it like, you know, like some of the guys are coming and they go, right back, Gary Neville.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I didn't do that. I always marked it like, no, he was...
When you played
against that person, how they'd done
it. And I think the reason I went as well, I think I had a bonus in my contract if I won it.
Do you think people...
Did it get political? Did it get political when you were doing it?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Well, so I was... I'd get the forms, basically. Right. And I'd whack them out. And if we thought if someone had a decent chance of winning something, say, like, Stevie.
Yeah.
If you think, Stevie's got a chance or Torres has got a chance to play the year or something,
right.
It'd be like, well, no one can vote for his rival. I'd make sure.
Wow.
No,
that's childish.
Jamie.
That's very immature.
That is disgraceful.
That's not good.
Do you not think, though, that... Because we used to fill it in. Obviously, you only played against them teams twice a season. So I always thought that you should put forward your player of the season sometimes. Because you would only see them twice, wouldn't you? And then I think you see them play however many games, so you know who's doing well.
Yeah, but then
obviously, you can't vote for your own teammates, I get that. But I always just thought it was a bit... I was like, she played well against us. But I only seen her for two games.
Yeah. So, but then when you see them in games, like, you know, when you watch people on the TV as well, like when you, for instance, you know, you hear, De Bruyne done well again today. Then you see him on a live game, you see him do unbelievable stuff. That stays in your head.
Yeah. Okay, so we don't know who, obviously, the answer is this way. Who is the player's player of the year this year? As of today?
Oh, great question.
I wasn't even in the plan, but I just thought of it.
It's just a good one.
I mean, what are we doing there? Just riff.
Probably.
Riff like the specials.
That's a very good question.
The fact is, nobody's.
I think, well, you've got to think of the top City, Liverpool, I think Trent Alexander-Arnold would be
He's probably near the top at the moment.
I can't believe how bad
Declan's named it.
I always feel
the guy who's played a lot of games. Yeah. Defence. It's like he's never played a position before. How bad he is defending. It's amazing how many people just run past him. But anyway,
who?
Trent.
No, but Trent's.
Oh, listen. Yeah, but in possession. No, but
it's such a redundant argument for people saying run past him. He's not playing that role now. He's a creator now.
Bernardo Silva, I think, has been brilliant. Arsenal have obviously just gone off.
I'm going Declan Rice.
Aston Villa.
Declan,
you love him.
Aston Villa, Tottenham.
Midfield.
I thought Maddison before he got injured.
Yeah,
he was
on a nice one.
Son. Son.
Yeah. Come on, who are you saying?
Well, the fact
that
nobody's springing to mind suggests
that
there's nobody really been outstanding.
I thought Foden was having a good season for a while.
So who is it so far?
Probably with Liverpool being top, I would go with Trent.
Do you reckon?
Do you know something? Over here, I found these things. But I don't know what it is.
A Sabutio?
Yes, it's a Sabutio. I think there's one each.
Can there I?
You go. Oh, brilliant.
Little Sabutio, man.
Who is it? Is it Everton?
It better be a woman, else I'm kicking off.
I know. It's a woman, that one, Jill.
Is it Everton?
What are you going to do with one of them?
Everton. I've just been playing. I've just been fiddling with it.
I like those.
Oh, right.
So it's a little thing.
Again?
It's just a little thing.
Yeah, cheers.
Nice. Thanks. Right, we'll move on to something more serious.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Serious matters. Everton and Forest have been charged, admitted, breaches of FFP, and they're in a bit of trouble. And you this morning have written an article, I see, where you're putting the
good article, James.
You're putting the blame.
Have you seen it?
Good article, yeah. Yeah,
the Everton fans don't think so.
Well, you're putting the blame. You're not. I mean, obviously, the Premier League are getting a lot of criticism and being put under a lot of pressure from the clubs and the fans of the clubs. But you're saying this wholly lies with the owners of the clubs, aren't you?
Yeah, I think, well, certainly from Everton's point of view, I'm in the city. I've got friends and family who are Everton fans. And what Everton have been totally, for the last 12, 18 months, have absolutely slaughtered their own board, and rightly so. There's been a lot of stuff going on off the pitch, demonstrations beforehand. But when this has all come out, what is done, and it's not just Everton fans, I think probably Liverpool fans are doing, it's probably a trait of people in the city. It's a bit like, right, someone's attacking us, the Premier League are coming for us, docking our points. We're going for them, or we're sticking together type of thing, and we're going to really fight this. But if you actually look at Everton Football Club right now, who is actually fighting for them in terms of their own club? There's no one there. They've got the mayor of Manchester, Andy Burnham, who was a big Everton fan, and I know him quite well. He's a really good man. He's the one sort of on the front foot, fighting for basically against the Premier League or fighting for him, because there's just a vacuum. There's no one there. The owner's just gone missing. No one's heard a peep from him for years. Mm. The people on the board who've obviously the fans got them out, but a couple of them didn't even actually go to the hearing to defend the club, which I find unbelievable.
Wow. Staggering.
Unbelievable. So for me, yeah, whether it's the Premier League, whether it's the government, whoever's in sort of those echelons, we all sort of attack them and think, you know, challenge them, and Everton are doing that. But there's a couple of things they could argue. I feel that, is the 10 points too harsh? I think that's a fair argument. You know, that's what they're fighting. Can they get it to 6? Can they get it to 4? They're arguing, Everton are upset with the Premier League, I think, about basically the club are saying some of the charges are on the stadium and you're allowed to put money to the stadium, the women's team, the academy, that's classed as infrastructure. But, and that's where the court case will end up. Is the money Everton are saying that was used for the stadium? Was it used for something else? And then they'll be over and get docked. But for me, you can, Everton fans are obviously having to go to the Premier League. You can have a go to the Premier League and not be happy with two or three things, but the way that club's being run is just like, it's so bad. I was actually looking at it because I thought I better get ready for the Blues on social media, you know, when they come back at me. At one stage, I got the wages sent to me. At one stage, 2 years ago, Everton's wages were 95% of their turnover. 95. It's just like unbelievable how badly that club has been run.
But Jamie, do you know, it's amazing. When you think of the money involved in this football and what they're up against, and I know it's, I'm not going to try and simplify it, but you think, what kind of accountants have they got in the background? Because I know clubs can cut corners on bizarre things, give crazy wages, but then try and cut corners with. But surely they must have, the clubs must have the best of the best in terms of, you know, accounting before they file them with the.
Sure, you know beforehand you're going to be in a problem, don't you? Surely you're looking at that months before. You're involved in a club and run a club. You know beforehand. And the Premier League, they've been given criticism by Everton, but they were actually working with the club in terms of saying, you're getting very close to it. I actually think the Premier League should have been stronger with Everton and just said, you can't buy another player.
Right.
But should the club know that, Jim?
I know.
I think the problem with the Premier League, so this is the simple rule where you're only allowed to lose £105 million over a three-year period. So Everton could say that, like Jamie said, they could stop them signing a player, but what Everton could say is, well, we'll know because we're going to sell a player for 40 million and be back within it. So that's what happened. And then obviously they haven't brought that revenue in, and that's when
they're. Of course, but it must be dates where you put in your accounts, like every
tax return.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what's really quite sad about the whole thing for me is that I was reading a piece from Philip O'Clair in that Yosemite. When you look at the future for Everton and the 777, I just read in that piece that the CEO and the CFO have just been like, they've just released them. They've just let them go. That's the future. Those are the people who are allegedly meant to be buying the club. and they've been suspended, they've been removed. So when you're saying about no one's even going, Jame, and no one's and that is supposedly the future, it does not look.
They are basically keeping Everton afloat at the moment. They don't even own the club, but they are giving Everton, I think, £20 million a month for running costs, and they obviously they own other clubs, and there's a lot of criticism. I think Richard Masters said yesterday, this almost saying that we're not sure that we'll actually grant them the permission to.
When you look at the activity around the world and every, you know what I mean, the businesses and all the discrepancies and everything, you have to worry about that with 777 and Everton, because they.
I think you're right. I mean, even with Nottingham Forest, they signed, it felt like a million players last summer, spending so much money. You think, how are they going to do this within the sort of rules? And when they break the rules, you almost aren't surprised a little bit. But
yeah, but you're surprised. The fans should be surprised, because I remember it was Randall, the ex-chairman and now director. He gave them assurances in one of those in one of the supporters' trust Q&As that no, because they were obviously very worried about the signings and, well, this looks weird. We were all thinking, what are they doing?
What's going on?
So the fans were doing that. And he was saying, no, you know, assurances, it's going to be fine. So now they get into this situation.
But Everton did that as well. And it makes me think, is it that feeling of, you know, Everton are still arguing against it. You're saying Nottingham Forest were arguing against it. And we'll create that much of a storm. We get all our fans on our sides. Yeah. Our fans will always support us. And it's almost just like, almost that sort of Trump politics where you just sort of say things and you get people with you and you get this big army, we're against this or we're against that. You're saying, someone of Forest saying that, Everton, the two times they've been done this season before and, you know, little bit of a messages that you're getting, stuff that I read in the local paper, it's a bit like, no, Everton are going to be fine. Mm. And then they're not. Yeah. And you're like, how is that possible?
Sorry for the players, though. I'm like, they've already had points deducted and then obviously they've worked so hard to get points and then if they get more took off them. And I'm like, they're not in charge of the finances of the club. Imagine being a player, put all that work in and then they just take all your points off you.
I'd say more the supporters. What I'm saying is the reason that, I'm not having to go with players in as much as you want and we'd all do the same sort of things, but we all know those basket case clubs where people are going there getting money that well over the odds. Yeah. Everton's wage will 95% of the team. They're paying players that are nowhere near worth it. And I'm not having to go with the players for that, but it's actually the supporters really more than the players, because the players are the ones
players,
who are actually...
The players aren't going to go, oh, you're going to pay us this, are you sure you're going to afford it? Like, let's knock it down a bit.
I would like to see an amendment to FFP, but it was brought in by the elite clubs to protect the elite clubs from the fact that they are the highest revenue generating clubs. I don't like it in its essence. I think there needs to be a change to the rule. But one of the diversion tactics, you can call it a diversion tactics, is that they're saying, well, the Premier League are only picking on the small clubs, and what about Manchester City? And that's the sort of big elephant in the room, really, in the sense that the City's charges haven't been brought forward, excepting it's a lot more complex. I was uncomfortable yesterday that Richard Masters said that there's been a date set, but he couldn't explain when the date was. That told me, I might be wrong here, that maybe we're not going to like the date. It's maybe going to be in June, July or next summer. It's going to be beyond this season. I think it's in the interest of City, actually, and everybody, to bring that case forward and not circumvent process, not really, to be fair. You've got to go through the proper process, but accelerate the process, do it quicker, do the right process quicker, because it can't go on. It can't go on, because it is damaging to the Premier League and the game generally, where you've got this one.
Who do you blame for that, for it dragging on? Mm.
Because, well, City,
they're different charges, surely.
They are different charges. And to be fair, the quite simple charge over Everton and Forest is the £105 million over 3 years. City's one is
which
a
is
lot
transparent.
More complex.
Which you could see their accounts publicly.
Yeah, it's a lot more complex and a lot more charges. Mm. But it can't go on for years, or else it's... I mean, it has done already.
What are we at now, 6 years?
I think 6 years it's gone on for. It's got to be in the interest of everyone to bring that to a head.
I'll tell you what the real saddest situation, what we find ourselves in here, in fact, the Man City players find themselves in, as a team that arguably played some of the greatest football we've seen in the Premier League, players achieving unbelievable things. I think the owners of that club owe it to those players to clear their name.
Well, that's what they'll try and do.
Simply because... Everything we're saying, we're just talking and waxing lyrical about De Bruyne and the play. All that would be tainted for him if they do not sort this out quick. They owe it to those players who are doing unbelievable things for Man City, maybe going for their fourth now, to clear this up. Yeah. So embarrassing.
Some of the charges against City are related to the fact that to get round the £105 million in 3 years, they've put costs that should have been within Manchester City into their operating company, which is the City Football Group.
Yeah.
But it needs to be brought forward quickly. Mm. Even if they brought forward some of the more simple charges out of the 150, I don't know whether they can. I don't know whether it has to be all heard at once. Yeah, you know what I mean?
And did you get the date with her? Did this, no.
They said there's a date set, but Richard Masters wouldn't give the date. That worries me a little bit.
I hope it wasn't my wages that caused all this.
You're tainted.
I think I'm all right.
What did you win there?
What did you win there, Jill?
You know something? It's a good point you make, Gal, because they should do that. Because if I'm not only the player, but the fans as well, you don't want that smell hanging around.
City can fix this straight away. What I'm saying is, if you were in their position, I think I said this a few months ago on here, if you've got something hanging over, you want to clear your name.
Yes.
You don't want to drag it on. The fact they're dragging it on,
it's making it worse.
And surely the outcome's going to be the same no matter what date it is. So I do agree. Just
get
it cleared up.
It's too much snowdoggery, too much like, we'll tell you next week when we're going to... It's not good. It's not good for them. It's not good for the game. Mm-hmm.
But they're denying, obviously, Everton and Forest have held a hand up and said, we have overspent or whatever. So, but I understand a little bit why it takes so long. It really does. I think all these things are complex. Any legal stuff like that or with that much money and the consequences.
I don't know, Roy. I think, simply because...
Roy, it will take time, but I think now, I mean, it's been 6 years.
Yeah.
It's got to be fixed quickly.
You know what I mean? It's only because...
You'd like to think it'll be sorted
up. Yeah, it's...
In the summer?
I think, to be fair, it'd be helpful if it was done as quickly as possible, because I think Everton and Forest and other clubs are going to start to think.
When you think of sort of Everton's as one charge, or maybe two now, and they sort of admitted the guilt, and you see it was 10 points, and that was my problem with Everton. I was thinking, wow, 10 points feels big.
Yeah.
And when you think of City 115, that's why you think of how complex it might be and how much City are fighting, because you can think of the repercussions compared to what Everton got for 10 points for one charge, for being over 105 million compared to 115.
I don't hold no optimism in them actually getting them into a position where they're going to cause them problems. Mm. I really don't think City are going to continually dance around them.
That's my feeling.
Do you think point deduction is the answer, or fines?
I think they've set the precedent now.
Yeah, point deduction.
They've sent the precedent.
Because how do you make like a certain, like, if you do this, you get this many points. You've just got to do something. I'm quite
that's the, pro- that's the problem with Everton fans right now. They're a little bit like, there's no set rules for if you do this, you get that. So they're saying, why is it 10 points?
Yeah.
There is no...
Well, strange enough, Everton responded well at the time, didn't I? Know they had a heavy defeat to United, but after that, they win 4-5 and they come off again. So sometimes it brings people together. It does.
And they were lucky they didn't do it last season. Like, if they'd done it last season, Everton would have went down.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Right, it's now time for our... Predictions. Oh. Super Six predictions. This is our Super Six predictions time, and let's see if Roy can do a little bit better this week.
These games are...
because it's
I'm just getting dead excited.
But it's fine for us, because we follow all sorts of football. Oh, you only follow the Premier League. Jill only follows the Premier League.
Oh, yeah, she's a snob. Jill,
I was at Preston and Bristol last weekend. You know what I mean? I got to every time.
Yeah, only because you're getting paid 30k.
And the rest.
Don't say you went just to watch. Were you working?
I was watching a game last week.
You paid to go to watch Preston and Bristol.
What the hell watch?
It was an Adidas appearance. You had to wear that coat.
Jill, you're getting on my nerves. I'm trying to be polite to you.
Just
forget it.
Oh, gosh.
Right.
Jill, you go first.
Come on, Ben.
Right.
Look at Gary, knows the score.
I don't need the score. Right,
torn in your voice.
Thank you.
Look how much he's wants it to happen. Come on, Ben.
I don't do that. Ian, I don't do that.
You just done it. I just saw you
do
it.
I'm neutral. Do I know the scores, Ben?
To be honest.
No, that was Ben. I swapped it.
No, Gary.
Thank you, Ben.
Nice one, Ben. Yeah. Ben, I'm just...
That all great?
Is that the side? You have to stand that side. I can't see.
Do you want me to go this side?
I like, yeah, it makes me feel better.
I'll go this side.
Can they see
it? Oh, yeah. I hear you on the radio. I hear you on the radio. I need to crash my car.
This is what they keep trying to do to us.
That's better.
Is that all right?
Yeah, because we can see him now.
Just put Jill around the back. Now, let's concentrate. What's the score?
Am I in? Do I look good?
Of course you look good, Benny.
I actually thought you had a good
score. Really, because you're on that side. You know what I mean?
New year, new me, innit?
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, God.
Right. His toast is so good.
Scores.
Just off camera.
We were unlucky again, Dilla. We're unlucky, aren't we? We're a bit like Arsenal.
I just feel, yeah, we're
creating another chance.
We can't do any more than we're doing. We've just got to keep doing it.
You've been lucky over there.
Go on, Ben.
Just get lucky with the good score. Sorry.
Last week, Gary, you got 15 points with 3 correct scores.
Wow.
Well, wow.
So, and
you beat over 1 million players. So last week's was...
Gary and
Jamie. Yeah, I was going to say, Jamie, where are you here?
I keep overperforming, don't I?
Gary and Jamie. So you're currently on 68.
He's good. Credit where credit's due.
That is really good. And
this is going to be sore one. He pauses, doesn't he?
You're getting on my nerves.
Roy, honestly.
Yeah.
You got 6.
No, we got 6.
Okay, your team got 6.
Wow.
No, Roy got 6. He always has the last say. And this is on him.
You're on 4.
Well done, Jill.
Who said that?
Well done, Jill.
Keep hearing a voice.
What's that noise?
Well done, Jill. This team.
What's that nagging voice we can hear?
Jesus.
So you're 28 points behind Roy.
It's fine. A long way to go.
Yeah, hey.
Just look at it.
Been
as
unlucky.
Look at it as a point reduction.
What game? There was a couple of games we were close.
Yeah.
There was somebody let us down.
What 3 games did I get right?
Yeah.
Did we get the right score?
You got.
I think Jamie doesn't
Tottenham
get enough credit.
One.
You would have said to
Luton
yourself,
1, then. Newcastle 0.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah.
Leicester 3, Rotherham 0.
Did you get that?
You got that?
Oh, yeah.
We were watching that game.
Did I go 4?
Did you know that? Did you remember what you said?
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
We got 4. We gave him a goal.
I can't remember these scores. Use me up secretly and have secret little episodes with
that. Luton 1-0 was a good one.
Good shot.
100% right.
Right, let's go.
Right, go on then.
Right.
Just include the woman.
Bums away.
No, go on. Yeah.
West Brom.
Norwich, West Brom.
You get that on camera. See, he doesn't even know my name. He just called us Joe.
Norwich have been a bit inconsistent.
Right, 2-1, West Brom.
Yeah, I feel like West Brom are playing.
Yeah, but we all pick a game each instead of this,
Okay.
So you're going
with that. Not working well, is
this is on you.
Quite inconsistent.
2-1, West Brom.
Probably
good shot, actually. I wouldn't disagree with that.
Thanks, I need your approval.
What are you going, Joe?
But I gave you a little heads up when...
Asante's play. I need Asante to score.
They're not playing well, they're inconsistent. And against the bigger teams, they're not showing.
There's a few mil under it to sell, but don't worry about that.
It's 1-1, isn't it?
Yeah, 1-1.
You love a 1-1.
You're getting boring, Jane.
You love a tree.
He's still chilled.
You love tree.
Bristol. Oh, they beat West Ham, huh?
Mm.
Great result as well. They beat them proper as well.
Bristol Watford.
No, it's not. 2-1.
What was it, Watford? Didn't they beat? I think they beat Watford on Boxing Day. Watford ain't lost since then.
So you go over this game. You go this game.
Okay.
No, you go. Not yet. Let him go first. It's your go.
Is it your go?
We're definitely going Watford because we think Bristol City in the cup. A bit of distraction.
Might be tired.
Oh, distractions. Yeah. One extra game.
Well, what are you going with?
I don't know.
How can anyone sit there who's good for a big club go? It's good to be knocked out. I don't get it.
I don't know.
It's good to be knocked out.
They can focus on the league then,
right?
Jesus. They can focus on the league.
We were capable of going in all competitions. Some of these clubs are not built that way.
But they're not travelling to Europe, Gary. They're travelling up on the fucking M6.
Are we doing six travelling?
An hour and a half away. Come on, your
score. Come on, Gal, your score.
But Roy, the reason that teams who play into the Europa League struggle like mad, there's a reason for it. They can't.
We're talking about Bristol City.
Wow. Yeah, but Bristol on flyer at the minute.
Spurs out of the cup. Why?
Who are you going with? What are you going with, Bristol or Watford?
No, we're going to Watford.
You're going Watford?
Yeah, Watford are winning that.
I don't like it.
Oh, bad. This is your one. This is your one.
Can't we?
1-0.
1-0 to Watford, yeah.
It won't be 1-0.
Right, I'm gonna
fancy
Bristol will score at home.
I fancy Bristol simply because they're on a high as well.
No, it's your show. Come on, chill, win.
He says every week.
One
he disagrees with you, then it's your shout.
I think use me earlier for this.
Keep your nose out of our business.
The scores.
No, we just make a decision.
Is it us next?
Brentford is even Tony's face.
Ivan Tony's back, baby.
Ivan Tony's there, won't it?
Ivan Tony, bro.
5:30 kickoff is out.
Yeah, 2-1 Brentford. Top
winner. I think
it's
all good.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Showboating.
Oh, yeah.
Tiger Stadium.
You can't go against Forest.
Yeah, but how are we going to close
it? We can't close it.
I need to look at something. I need to look at some details.
It's a half five.
This is you, bro.
Under the lights.
Under the lights. Everyone will be singing.
Everyone is singing. It's the G-Tech.
Are you going against Forest?
No, I think Forest will get something.
Hey, this is your one.
Forest on the counter attack. They've had a decent start. I'm going to go.
Tree.
2-2.
Tree.
See, if you didn't say that, if you didn't say 2-2,
I can't slag it back because if you slag it back, big.
Anti-women.
Watch out. We're not anti-women.
Anti-women. I've got 4 daughters, remember? Hey.
Right,
Leeds.
Oh, we got you. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Leeds win that.
Gary, you doing texts?
No, I was looking at some detail. No,
I was looking at the stats. You're cheating. You're looking at the stats.
I saw you.
Leeds home record.
We're going Leeds, definitely.
Okay.
Aren't we? 2-0? Yeah. Do you reckon the 3-0?
Yeah.
I think
2-0.
Don't want to be too hard, right?
2-0 to Leeds.
Preston beat him earlier on. Preston beat him earlier on. You know what?
At Preston.
Yeah, Preston beat him, but I feel like Leeds at Ellen Road, revenge.
What do you think?
I think Leeds will beat them this time.
Oh, Leeds will beat them.
Yeah, I was actually going to go 2-0, but they've...
Do it, yeah, just copy
us. You can repeat, you can copy us.
3-1.
You're going to go for
it's up to you.
You won't catch us.
Jill, Leeds are on once they get on a roll.
Just go 2-0.
She's been moaning that you're not allowed an opinion.
I'd have given
you a copy, but how are we going to close the gap on them?
Exactly. Okay. By 3-0.
Oh, no.
I would have given Preston
a goal. I would have given Preston a goal.
No, 3-0.
You're going 3-0, Jill?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Put it 3.
Well done.
I would have given Preston a goal.
Would you?
Because, like, they beat
them. No, let's go with it.
But it's okay. It's fine.
I can't wipe it out.
Your goal?
Is it me? Sheffield United?
Sheffield United. Easy. You've got to get easy ones.
No, I feel like...
West Ham will bounce back.
Yeah, but no Paqueta. Maybe no Bowen. Away from home.
Is Bowen injured?
That's a lot out. That's like taking...
This is a game Sheffield United have to win.
That's like, you know, like having an eye patch on, bro.
West Ham would... Yeah. This is your decision, but West Ham would certainly get a result.
I'm struggling with that on Carra, Sheffield United, West Ham.
Hey, West Ham.
As in what? I'm not feeling.
You left about 4-0 last night.
No, I'm...
West Ham.
No, I haven't done Sheffield United game all season.
It might be a draw, but they'll get a result.
Do you think they'll hammer them?
Sheffield will beat them. 2-1 Sheffield.
Is it just Bournemouth Liverpool Sunday? Single game?
Yeah, but you said it's me. You said I should go. I'm going for Sheffield.
I didn't say anything.
Thank you very much.
I didn't say anything.
I mean, I'm going deep.
I'm with you.
Thank you. This is a big game. Look, this is a tough
game. United got enough to win a game.
No, you think? Like, don't be fooled by
Hannah. Yeah, they're at Bramall Lane. I think it's a good one for them. West Ham still bruising.
Did Luton win there a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Exactly.
this is why we're not.
He knows the answer to
in this competition because you're so negative.
Do you know what it is? We're going through a sticky patch, aren't we?
We're in molasses.
We need a sticky patch. We need to go. Yeah, a bit of go karting, Chinese paintballing. Hey,
that's what we need.
A trip to Marbella. Sinatra's.
Can we do these?
Jill's not going.
Yeah, go. We'll go 1-1.
Can we do these for spending too much money and point deduction?
And concentrate.
It's true.
Bournemouth Liverpool, I think it's going to be a tough game for Liverpool.
Been tough game.
Oh, he throws that every week, but he'll say Liverpool.
No, but like, he's never said
Liverpool going to drop a point.
I've never heard him say Liverpool.
He's never said Liverpool going to drop a point.
This is you.
What are you saying? This is you, James.
Trent just playing by himself.
Trent's not playing, he's out, so the creator's out, the goal scorer's out, and Salah.
So you're going to go Bournemouth win then?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm saying it'd be a tight Liverpool
win. It's a draw, isn't
it?
What do you think?
Hey, they'll flex their muscles.
You going 2-1?
Yeah, I think Bournemouth will get a goal, but I think Liverpool have still got a lot of firepower. I think it'll be one of those games where you think Liverpool were lucky. They'll just get just
didn't
about
get
the job
done. They got beaten last year. They drew, did they?
Yeah, they got beat. That was after beating Man United 7-0. He went there and got beat 1-0. Salah missed the penalty.
Yeah.
We're going 2-1 Liverpool because he's just said it and he won't change his mind.
2-1.
I'm
going to go.
What are you saying, Roy? Because you're going to go for a draw.
It's my show.
They've got to win.
Bournemouth are playing a lot better now, aren't they?
They are so much better. This will be a great game.
That'll be a great game. I'll go 3-1 Liverpool.
Wow, I would want Bournemouth to win that.
Righty, I've just
you love the Bournemouth.
I do. I love a Bournemouth. Bournemouth for my team.
You did say they'd beat United.
I did. I don't think that Bournemouth are going to lose that game. I really don't.
Righty, I've just noticed on your hand tattoos that say 9 and 10.
Yeah.
Is that the Was that your shirt number 10? Where was your 10 at?
No. This is my tattoo I got in lockdown when I was doing the stuff with Gary and Al. We kind of built a lot of Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer. And so because these are our shirt numbers, so I just put them on. Oh,
thank God, I thought someone had died.
I asked the question, I thought, so, where am I going out?
I just got 8, 9, 10 on there.
I'm Auntie Mary or something.
Oh, so you thought I was going deep?
Yeah. I thought you were going to go deep. That was thinking shit.
Well,
I
was when you were
born. Is that for Gary and Alan? Are you going to get our shirt numbers?
You put Lineker's shirt number on your hand?
Yeah.
Did they get it as well?
No. Oh. Yeah, but they're not showing. They ain't got that kind of love to give, have they? Yeah.
I was always the first.
You know something?
To get tattoos.
Thanks for super thank suits, guys.
You see what?
I'm glad they asked now. Yeah.
Have you got tattoos?
Yeah, not of other people's squad numbers. Fucking ridiculous.
That's not a squad number. That's their actual.
Wazza had then on his back. THEN. Have you heard that story?
What was that?
He said that me and my mate used to have a saying when we were younger. Okay then. and he's made it okay.
It means something to him.
I hope I'm not so aggressive.
Okay,
that's okay then. Okay, then.
I have loads of like random dates because when we used to like win trophies and have a drink, I'd always be the first one getting a tattoo, and none of the girls would go. So I've got like when we won the like it was a Charity Shield with Everton, I've got the date on my foot, and then when we won the Euros, I got this one. But I'm the only one.
I don't mind
that
one, but Charity Shield.
I know. Wait, bit of context. It was my first ever win. It was my first ever win. I was a bit excited.
Nice one. You know, the Charity Shield is a friendly. Yeah. It was a friendly game.
I know. Well, no.
It is a friendly game.
It was
game.
My first trophy.
It's not a trophy. Did you actually not a trophy?
I've got five eggs on my side, which is meant to be the Olympic ring.
Is that for us?
Yeah. we can put our names in each ring now.
That was quick. I like that. But yeah, random ones.
Right.
Have you got tattoos?
No.
Not one. No.
Have you not?
No. Have you?
No.
Oh, no.
Maybe you could get like an overlap run or something.
Yeah, something. No.
Have you not got any?
No.
What have you got? I reckon you'd have a cross.
He's got a dolphin.
He's got a dolphin. Say.
Come out.
Move on.
No.
What have you got? I can see by his face.
What have you got?
He's got Gary and Phil.
Is that all you got? You're lying.
And a cross.
I knew you'd have a cross.
On Sunday, there was a discussion after the game, Tottenham versus Manchester United, around styles of play. And people even talk about styles of play. And the question is, why has Erik ten Hag not been able to, when he's done it at other clubs, been able to implement in 18 months a style of play at Manchester United? You said on Sunday, and I don't know the answer, I'm scratching my head. Can we try and get to the
I'm
bottom
glad
of that?
You said head.
No, but when you say...
What I'm saying is, why has he not been able to create a distinct style of play?
It's just that it's not the style of... Everyone's got a style of play. So his style of play is what we're seeing, which a lot of the time is probably counter-attack that's quite direct. So that's a style of play. It's just that we associate now with the top teams almost all playing the same, don't they? It's all about, like, playing through the third, full-backs coming inside. There's a lot of similarities, isn't it? Not all exactly the same. So you look at Arsenal, Liverpool, Manchester City, probably Tottenham right now as well. There's a lot of the same things that you see building up from the back. Man United just... play differently. You know, it's not that they haven't got a style, it's just completely sort of alien to what we see the top teams do. And we expect the top teams to play a certain way now, because I think we're just sort of conditioned with it, with Pep Guardiola going back 10 years with Barcelona. And we think about, you know, Ten Hag at Ajax. Now, listen, I didn't watch Ajax every week, you know, but we just
they were possession-based, weren't
they? But we associate Ajax with, like, almost like Barcelona, don't we, in a certain style of play. Whether it was like that every week, I don't know. But it is a style of play. I just don't think you can... No. I think it's very difficult to win.
Is
like
it like an
right
attitude
now?
Way of playing as well, isn't it? Did I think? I think
counter-attacking?
A little bit. Or sometimes, again, you do reflect... I think sometimes a team can reflect the kind of attitude of the manager.
Yeah.
We see Klopp up and at him, but you do see United, and you do listen to the United manager, and you're like, we just want to see a bit more personality even from the manager.
There's no life there, is there?
And the kind of team sometimes reflect that. You look at United, and we are still waiting, going, come on, we need to see United get into top gear.
Well, didn't Ferguson used to always say that the personality of the manager, you see it basically in the team?
I think that for me, because he came and he was possession-based, that's how he played. And they started at United. They started like that. I think it's after the Brentford game. After the Brentford game, then we started.
He would have been scared by that.
Absolutely, but then he changed. He went to transition, and even you know when the summer came, you're thinking, okay, he's going to go back to how we're going to sort it out, and he's still doing transition. Then he's saying he's going to be the. He wants to be. They want them to be the best transition team in the world. But the thing is that if your transition team, you're meant to be scoring, they don't score enough, and you they just don't control.
I think McLaren's an influence. The reason I say that is because when you talk about the style of play, it's probably the style of play that we all played where there was no set thing. We do the same every week. We do different things every week. Sometimes you might play, you go in Europe, play counter-attack, or you're playing a small team at home, you know you're going to have lots of the ball. United feel a little bit like it's football from our day 20 years ago. And I just think you're right. We looked at that. The first couple of games, they played Brighton and Brentford, and it was De Gea was trying to get on the ball. He was struggling with the ball. Eriksen was coming really deep to receive it. He wanted Frankie de Jong, who's like, you know, a real sort of footballer midfielder. And he went away from that and had great success last season. You know, great spell, you know, won a cup, got to a cup final, did really well at sort of Europe, got to the quarters. And I just don't know if there was something that Steve McClaren being at Manchester United, being there under Ferguson as well, almost saying, this is the way United sort of play a little bit. I don't know, you know, sort of counter-attack and it's fast and it's wingers at times. And they sort of said, well, why would we change it? Because it's gone quite well last season. Let's try and maybe buy a better calibre player to do continue it. What we're
yeah,
doing.
But the thing is, Jamie, you're looking at Manchester United. That's what I'd say to you, Gary, and you, Roy, is Man United, at home teams, lower-end teams as well, but like even Tottenham with the so-called players missing, more possession, controlling the game at Old Trafford. You know, at some stage, surely Man United fans want to see a different brand of football at home where you're putting teams under pressure because you've got a structure and how you're going to attack the team. You know what I mean? You look at them, like I looked at a graph of them and it was like that. Did you see it, James? You know, whereas you look at everybody else and it's all over. And there was one of them, what they showed the graph, there was no connection to Højlund. None.
They don't really play as a team, do they?
No.
We keep saying the same thing.
Why after 18 months do they not, Roy? That's the bit I'm trying to struggle with a little bit.
Well, I don't know whether they're just not taking on board the manager's ideas.
He's not getting it cross,
there is something. Yeah, whatever. They're not taking on board. Because whatever you say, you look at Man United, we keep saying every week, you don't know what you're going to get. Even I watched the game last week, they went to Wigan, you're thinking, they'll certainly dominate Wigan and certainly score 4 or 5 goals or whatever. Even still, it was a bit of, you know, they had to get a penalty to get over the line. They weren't even great in possession. And I don't mind a team sitting in, even at Man United. But even the other night when they did start kind of pressing, even Spurs, you look at the second goal, just one or two passes,
bam,
it was a goal.
Yeah.
As if they're not athletic enough, they're not. So I think there's obviously an element of fear from the team. They go, we are better sitting in. And I agree. I think there's nothing right with sitting in if you're doing brilliant going forward. But they're not scoring the goals to back that up. So they're definitely stuck between a rock and a hard place because, again, you're Man United. The onus is, even when you're at home, going, you flex your muscles. But
attack.
And more importantly, you're on about fear and a mindset. Teams are playing United now, and there is no fear anymore.
No.
Particularly, I think teams are going to Old Trafford now and enjoying it.
But look at how they started. It's a perfect start against Spurs. Perfect in 3 minutes, bam, there was pressing. You're thinking, right, if they keep that up, we'll see what Spurs are about.
But they're missing something, right? Well, you know, Friday, when you're missing something, a bit of belief, confidence, and chopping and changing, and a real out and out goal scoring, you're lacking goals. It doesn't matter if you're playing for Man United or any lesser team. There is that. They end up in no man's land. They're not a pressing team.
Yeah.
They're not brilliant to dominate. They're not a brilliant physical team. They're not unbelievable at set pieces. So you're trying to hang your hat on something with any team. You go, well, what are they really good at? You said, my Arsenal, good at possession or whatever.
That's my point, Roy. I can't pinpoint anything.
Yeah. Nothing.
Oh, you couldn't hang your hat on Man United.
What are they trying to be?
I can't see patterns of play. Sometimes I look at players and I think, are they just doing the one thing? And yeah, you need an element of that in football, but it's got to be a freedom within an actual framework. I remember watching the centre-halves give it to the right-back and they're running forward. And I'm like, is that something they've worked on? Because usually, obviously,
you drop off in case.
And I'm like, is it something they're working on? You think, right, they'll make a few mistakes because they're implementing a new style of play, but has it developed and got better? Do you know what I mean?
My worry with Ten Hag is that when I was looking at him last season, he reminded me a little bit of Rafa Benitez. And what I mean by that is he didn't have great charisma. When you see him in the press conference, it's very sort of like very straight. He answered the question. He looks like he doesn't want to be there. Benitez had that sort of way about him. You know, you wouldn't be hanging on his every word in a press conference. But he was really top draw on that training pitch and sort of drilling us exactly what we did. And I thought that's Ten Hag, that last season when United were doing well. It's like he really knows the game, but he hasn't got like a huge personality or charisma.
Mm.
So if he's not actually getting the stuff on the actual pitch tactically and setting them up really well, I'm thinking, oh, there's not much else because I don't see him as this like the players loving him or, you know, being this man manager or like making players lift the game than where they get to.
It looks like they're all hanging in there, Jamie. Like last year, we give him praise. You go, listen, they won the Carabao Cup, a bit of luck with the draws and whatever. And then they get to a cup final, get well beaten by City. I think it could be almost the same scenario this year where you go, top five, the fifth is available to somebody to get in that Champions League. And again, but then United get in it and they were rubbish in the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had a little bit of luck again with another good cup draw. So as much as they're struggling and no patterns of play, still in football, you've got to hang in there. I keep saying they look like they're just surviving in games. Spurs the other day got, and they look like they're hanging in there. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll certainly be the same this season where you go, could they, obviously Man United could win the FA Cup, of course they could.
I think Jill's point around combination and patterns is massive because any team that, to be fair, is anything at all you see repeated patterns and combinations and things. And I think about Bruno Fernandes, and I watched him on Sunday, and he's obviously the best player in terms of talent, but he's everywhere. Yeah. He's left wing.
Except where he should be.
But he's left wing. No, but no, just something I've been thinking about that a lot in the last 48 hours. He must be being told, go and do what you want. Yes. Because there's no way, I don't think Bruno Fernandes is the type of guy that, because I don't see Ten Hag saying to him, get back in.
If that with Ollie as well.
No, but if Pep Guardiola, a player plays out of position for like a minute or 2 minutes, they're on the sideline and they're saying, get back into your position.
It would never happen.
Right, so I think Ten Hag is actually giving him the freedom to go there. Yeah. And actually, that means you can never have a combination or a pattern, because you've got your main midfield player, actually, to be fair, everywhere on the pitch.
Yeah.
And it's almost a little bit 20 years ago where your number 10 said, give him license to play.
Yeah.
That's gone now. You actually have to fit within a combination and pattern and system and attacking shape. And that's the bit that I think that Bruno Fernandes is being told he must be able to go everywhere. Because I don't see Ten Hag or any of the coach going up to him and saying, get back into your position or get back into there.
If they're a really strong team and some really proper professionals, you'd be telling them on the pitch, whatever about the manager would be saying, if you're under the cosh, like the second goal against Spurs, you've got a young player midfield and the lads are pressing, that's where you have...
But it must be what they want, Roy. It must be what they want. I don't think it's a case of, like, the player should get Bruno back into position. I think he's told to go wherever he wants.
He must have been given the freedom of going, like, add a number. But if you're playing in that team, it's so difficult if someone's doing that. And it's so true with City. How many players could do that? Kevin De Bruyne, Phil Foden, and do it. But they'd never be allowed, because we played the same system from the men to the women's teams to the academy. And I could still tell you all the patterns now. And you get a little bit of freedom, but Kevin De Bruyne will operate mainly on that right-hand side of the pitch. He's not running over to the left and because everything works together.
But that's a team that's like a proper machine. Organised.
Yeah,
we'll go back to recruitment.
Yeah.
Probably one of the greatest managers ever. That's what Man City... And when you have it going on, And United, a reflection, we're going... United are almost the opposite of City. They haven't got any of that stuff.
But it helps because if a player's coming into the system, obviously there's loads of changes, there's injuries, everything. Someone's coming in, they just know what they're doing. It's not like they have to.
I always remember Kevin Keegan when we were managing with England. It just struck me then when Scholes, who was playing in midfield alongside Paul Ince, he used to say, go and light fireworks wherever you want. It's almost an instruction to sort of go and be wherever you wanted.
Not talking deep, though. Anywhere up front.
So basically, go and light fireworks. I want you to go and light fireworks. In team talk, you'd say stuff like that. And it feels to me a little bit like that's the instruction that Bruno Fernandes gets a little bit. He's not being told where to be, like you say. But he's actually said, go on, go and do what... Go and create goals for us. Go and do this.
We've all played with players. Yeah. There was an element of... It's a great example. I'm sure that wasn't what was said to him, but you're almost saying... Again, we'll forgive a Cantona or a Bruno if they're not great defensively, as long as they're doing the business in terms of scoring goals.
But Roy, I played right back with Eric up front. You could always hit Eric when you always knew that he was in that sort of space.
In possession. Yeah. I'm on about out of possession.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
In possession. Oh, yeah.
No, I'm talking about in possession here, by the way, patterns and combinations.
Yeah, but you're on about lads just running. Going a bit crazy.
I think there's a difference between, you just said he's the best player in the team, if you like. And I used to describe Pogba a bit like this. And I think there's a difference between a great talent and a great player. I think Pogba was a great talent, but I don't think he was a great player. And the same with Bruno Fernandes. No doubt the talent, but there's something. And I think the great players, it's in the head, understanding where they need to be, whether it's defensively, to receive the ball. De Bruyne. Mm-hmm. So when you actually look at... Listen, De Bruyne is better than Fernandes, but in terms of like maybe creating chances and different things, Fernandes is maybe not a million miles away from him. But... he's a great talent, but it doesn't...
Carrot, on that point, last question. So you're saying... Because if Bruno swaps with Kevin De Bruyne and Bruno goes to City, you don't think that Pep Guardiola would get him into that system of play in that left or right channel, playing in that three in midfield, and he would be strict to it. Are you saying the problem's Bruno Fernandes and that he's uncontrollable? Are you saying the problem is the coach not giving him a direction?
Coach.
Well, we're talking about two coaches. I mean, what I'm saying is I've seen him under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I've watched him where... And it's not being lazy, by the way. He's running all everywhere. And this is without the ball,
by
the way. He
must have been told to do that.
Lads, but he does it. Have you watched him international level? He does the same international level. So a lot of times, if you keep looking, it can't all be the coaches and managers. I think sometimes there is a player out there, and he can be. And if he's doing all that stuff and he's producing magic, you do forgive him.
Yeah.
But if you're on a struggling team and he's doing all that stuff, that's where it stands out. You go... You're killing us. You're costing us. But he does it. I reckon if you look back at his career, I reckon he's done it in every team. I think it's a trait. He's what age is he now? It's not as if he's an inexperienced player. Leopards and spots. Some players will have that, and he'll get away with it if United were winning more matches and he was producing his bits of magic, which he has done before.
I think he'd get away with it, Roy, if there was structure in Manchester United's team, because then you could go somewhere, but the team's so structured, you know that he's coming into your vicinity in the pitch. And
he's emotional, isn't he? He's very emotional. Yeah. I think sometimes when the game's not going well, I've seen him, like, he's commentating games, and he's running 30 yards to close the goalkeeper down, and then he's running.
And there's no one behind him, going behind him. And
people sometimes get kidded by it and go, oh, look at him working, and you're thinking, no, he's kidding.
Do you know he used to do that? I remember Varane used to do a bit of that, Varane, when he first came.
For the crowd, for the fans?
No, not really. I think it was just a case of... Yeah, it was style of play. A bit of freedom he had, obviously, the mindset. And I used to play with him, and he'd be like, come here, I'd be like, come in. Yeah. That's where my legs were going.
But when them GPS things came in, I always remember the games in which you played better, you did the less running. Whereas when you're like not playing very well, you're chasing all the time, aren't you? Trying to get a performance. But I do agree with what you're saying. He wouldn't get away with it at Manchester City. I don't think he'd play.
If he started
running around...
I've got a story about them GPSs, though. You know when they first come in?
Yeah. You put it on the dog?
No. There's a few of them in the team. Yeah. I remember I was playing right back for Liverpool, and they'd just come in, you know, Ulyay and Pro, it was Prozone, wasn't it? Yeah. Is that the same thing? And Danny Murphy be right midfield, and he'd just take off on these runs for like across the pitch. I mean, where are you going?
Yeah.
You've got to get me running. I've got to get me
stats. I'd see people
was
running.
Are you serious?
Yeah. We'd score a goal, and people would be running for the celebration just to get the.
As you said, but that doesn't mean you have to be smarter with it.
Yeah.
Again, when you're a manager, sometimes players would argue with you. You might leave a player out and you go, well, just to let you know, they would tell you that I've covered 12, 13 kilometres. I go, that's because you're crap. I want you to cover 8. Smart.
That was me every
game. You're giving the ball away. Actually, it was me.
I used to cover 11K, but not touch the ball.
Right, that's it. Okay, we've been told. Right, that's it. We've been told that it's game over. It was a lovely show, and we'll see you again next week. Well, what an honour. Stick to Football has been nominated in the Best Football Podcast Awards, and we are absolutely over the moon. But to win, we need your vote, so please look at the link in the description below.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners, so there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.